We're going to go to the book of Revelation, the church of Sardis this morning. So the third chapter of Revelation. This is the fifth church named. Revelation chapter 3. Beginning to read with verse 1, and we'll read down through the sixth verse. We're going to probably just get over the first two verses this morning as we kind of give some background of this church and location. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. "And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how that thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's begin with prayer. Father, I ask that you will please just guide and lead us through your word today. We can study man's works. We can have the concordance and the Bible dictionary. We can have all those tools that are before us. But if we do not have the Holy Spirit within our heart to teach us your truths, we have nothing. We must be born again. We must come by faith to you, Lord Jesus. You give us so much. We're going to look today as it speaks of the seven spirits, and we're just going to look at the power of your precious Holy Spirit as he is in our heart, in our lives. And please, dear Lord, that you will show all that are here that do not know you as their Savior, that they'll come today, that they'll start today. Today will be the beginning of their life because they have been living by the rule and reign of the devil until now, if today be the day that they trust in you. And so please, dear Father, guide and lead us. Grow us that are saved. Save those that are lost. It's your work, dear Lord. We're just your messengers of your word. But you can take your word by us speaking it and do wonderful and great works. And so please, we just ask that what we say today will be a blessing to you and blessing to all that hear. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we go through these churches, again, we have enjoyed Ephesus and Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, and now we're to the church of Sardis. And as we look at this, the church of Sardis, we are to the place that in the church ages that's just right after the Reformation. Now, most of you are aware when you hear the word Reformation what that means. And if you don't or if you question it, we're going to take just a few minutes and kind of talk about that. The church of Thyatira was the condition that led up to the need of the Reformation. And so, and we know that we had the beginning of the rule of the Pope, the foundation, the beginning of Catholicism, and that time and that age, as we have talked about that in the past. But here is the condition that happened right after the Reformation. Now, once again, remember that this church is a literal church in John's day. but it also is a period of time between Pentecost and the rapture of the church. And so we have those two things. Now, this Reformation, the corruption in religion had went to an escalated level. If you didn't bow down and do what we told you to do, why, you would be put to death. And it was called the Dark Ages. It was a terrible, terrible time for Christians because religion had went crazy in its ways, and corruption was such at a high level, and the Pope and the rule, all those things had really come to its fullness and to its ugly state. And we know, or most realize, that Martin Luther is the one that has been given credit for this reform, this Reformation. And then we have the birth of Protestantism. Now, we're of neither. We are not from the Catholic Church. We're not from Protestantism. We're from Christ. We go back to the cross of Calvary, and that's what we are built on here as a church. But many, and this Protestantism is in power now. It is a man-made thing, and it wasn't long that due to this formation of this, that it sucked all the life out of the churches. And so if you'll notice there, as we read concerning Sardis, you say you're alive, I say you're dead. And that's what's happened today. In most churches, they have the name, they have the excitement, they have the big buildings, they have all the activities going on around the church. But when God looks in, he says, you're not alive. You're dead. You're dead. And so, as we look at this, now, Martin Luther in 1570 is when that he made this big divide as far as our history lesson this morning is concerned. And that is the time that there was a separation. And he made, Martin Luther made some very good decisions and standing upon the Word of God. The problem was that it wasn't too long after that the people he brought with him or his own understanding, he began to convert back to many of the things that were taught in the Catholic Church. And even to this day, in Missouri Synod Lutheran Church, it says right in their rules, their book of rules, that if you're not an educated man, do not read the Word of God. Now, that was one goal that Catholicism had, was to keep the common man away from the Word of God. And so, what a way to keep people captive is to keep them away from the Word of God. And so during this time of Luther, we become the opportunity for the common man to possess the Word of God. The writing of languages that the common man could read. And so it was a wonderful time in that sight. But because of this Protestantism that come about, it was also very much held down in its victories. It should have been the greatest victory what Martin Luther carried out. But instead of that, why, the strings of the old ways, the old tradition seems to follow so very closely. And so with that time in mind now, let's look at the city of Sardis. Sardis is 27 miles south of Thyatira, 50 miles east of Smyrna. And on the radio program on Carthage, why, we've been taking the land of Canaan with Joshua. And so I always ask, I said, I hope that you got a map in front of you so that you can see where I'm talking about, because it has it so nicely divided. And I hope here that you do go home and open up your Bibles and look to the maps and see where this church, this literal church of Sardis, is located. This city was a very, very wealthy city. And with wealth, what comes? Wealth comes the lack of the need of God or pride. And so Sardis was no different than that. And we find that it was the capital of the kingdom of Lydia. And so Sardis was a capital city. It was conquered by Cyrus. And at that time, it literally come to an end. The present name of that location is Sart, S-A-R-T. This important city was found its beginning during the Iron Age. And so if you're a history buff, why you'll understand that it was a very important commercial route between the East and the West going through this kingdom. And so its wealth was found in textile manufacturing and jewelry making is where its great wealth come from. And the this wealth, of course, we know, brings in what? Doesn't bring in godliness. It brings in cults. Where there's money, the old devil comes in to be a part of it. And one of the cults, one of the great temples that was built in this town was Artemis, A-R-T-E-M-I-S. And it was 300 feet long and 160 foot wide was the size of his temple that was built in this city. We also find, as they do the excavating, we find that the gold smeltering areas, gold, and so they were also, this was found. The largest synagogue was found in this city, and it was three times larger than any other. It was 60 foot wide and 400 foot long. And I thought when I was looking at this that I found something right next to it that you'll see today so often next to a church building. You find a gymnasium. Well, there was a big gym right next to this big synagogue here in Sardis. Now that we have looked at the city, we've looked at its condition, we've looked at its time, it is the introduction of the Reformation as far as its church age. We look now at a literal city that was in John's time, and once again, as we enjoy each time, we identify the writer, which is our Lord and Savior. He that hath seven spirits, if you'll look at verse 1, and unto the angel the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath seven spirits of God. You know, Paul clearly speaks that there is one spirit. The Holy Spirit. And we are all to be baptized into one body by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And yet John here speaks of seven spirits. In Revelation, this phrase seven spirits shows us a completeness, the fullness, so to speak, of the Holy Spirit. And so each time that we look to the identity or the introduction of these churches, of the writer to these churches, why we just understand a little bit more who our Lord and Savior is. And right here we have the seven spirits, and we look at its the spirits, his completeness, his fullness. One was the diversified actions and ministries of the Holy Spirit. And Isaiah 11:2 really helps us to see this. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And so I've listed those below now in seven spirits: the spirit of Jehovah, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of Jehovah. Seven spirits. Seven spirits are listed. Jehovah, wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and the fear of Jehovah. Or that's a completeness showing who the Holy Spirit is. Why do we attempt? Why do we try to do anything without the leadership of the Holy Spirit? He is the one that gives us knowledge. He is the one that gives us understanding. Whether you're shopping or trying to make a decision for yourself or for your family or anywhere, why do you trust in the Lord? Search His Word, and He will give you a wisdom and understanding that is just unbelievable. And so He is the one that gives us this wisdom and understanding and might. He gives us power. He gives us a strength that keeps us going each and every day. And we need to depend upon Him. The fullness of the Spirit is in Christ, and in Him there is ample spiritual power for every circumstances, every situation that you and I may find ourselves in. Every one. There is never a lack of power that the Spirit wants to give us to carry out His mission. And the next part of this is the seven spirits and the seven stars. Stars are light bearers of the local assembly. Their responsibility is to shine for Christ. Our lights are to shine, to reflect the light of Christ to the people. It's not our own light. It's not our own abilities. It is the light of Christ. And the only way we can truly shine the light of Christ is if that light, as the moon reflects the sun. As the moon reflects the sun. I came back from, Kate and Mark were gone for a couple days, and we kept the kids, and then there's the big kid, the dog. And so I had to go up and let the dog out and come back. And when I came back, I noticed, because Abby rode along with me, and I said, "What's that up in the sky?" And she looked up there, and she says, "Is that the moon?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "What's it doing up there? The sun was just shining. The moon wasn't supposed to be there." I said, "I don't know. It must be out of kelter, you know, because it was way up in the sky and you could see it. But it just was a circle, not like it is in the 10, 11 o'clock at night when the full moon and you can just see everywhere. It's reflecting the light. It's the reflecting of the light. And we need to be the same way. We need to reflect the light of Christ. Our churches need it. Our communities need it. Our families need it. They need to see Christ in us. They need to see that light. And so here we have the seven spirits, which gives us a beautiful fullness of the Holy Spirit, and the seven stars, which should be the reflective light of the believers that are there. And our light should shine only from the Lord Jesus Himself. So we have seven spirits and seven stars. That tells us that all the light and all the ministry comes from Jesus Christ. Everything that should be done should come from Him and through Him. Jesus gives us the work. He also supplies us with the tools. He gives us the energy that we need to carry out the work that has been set before us. You'll never be doing something that He hasn't fully equipped you with. So why is it that we lack sometimes the proper... We don't know what to do. We don't know how to do it. It's because, my friend, we have not spent enough time with Him. We have not spent enough time with Him. I have been tired before, so tired you can't go on. And I remember one time I was going to the Bible study in La Harpe. Worked all day, worked hard all day. I couldn't keep awake. I kept falling asleep driving to the study in La Harpe. Pulled off the road, got the Bible out, read three verses of Scripture, said, "Lord, You give me the strength," and I had trouble sleeping that night. You want to know where the power's at? You want to know where the power is? We do a lot of things. God will never. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 and through 10. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and power." And please that we look to the Word of God, and the beginning of verse 10, "Ye are complete in Him." complete in Him. Whatever He has you to do, you are complete in Him. Whatever work, whatever ministry, if it be of God, it will be fully funded. In other words, all energy, all income will be available for that process, whatever it is. And so we need to understand that in whom ye are complete, and that is, of course, the Lord Jesus. Now, the end of verse 1 here, it says, I know thy works. You know, each time we have looked at the same thing, every time in these churches lists, I know thy works. I know thy works. And the sad thing is here, it says that I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest. You got a name that says you're alive, but you're dead. But you're dead. So sad. You've got a name. You know, our Lord is omniscient. He knows all things. Sardis announces from the radio station, from wherever they want to proclaim it, that we're a living church. We've got this activity, and we do this, and we do that. We're alive. We're alive. Come and see us. When God looks into the hearts of that church and those people and says, you're not alive, you're dead. You're dead. Does He say that about this church? Does He look into the hearts of the family that we have here and says this church is dead? Or is it alive? He can see right through. Sardis announces its life, but God announces that you're dead. You know, men look at the outward appearance, and they judge everything from that. Man looks at the outside. We look at the outside of everything. Let's look at our house. Let's look at the things that are a part of every day. You know, we think of our home. We have the yard and the flowers and the way that we have finished the house, whether it be the colors and the trims and the shutters and whatever it might be. The outward appearance. That's very important to us. What the outside of our home looks like. And, you know, then we got our wheels. We got to have our automobile, you know, and our automobile is important to us. You know, we have to have the right style, and it's got to be just perfect all the time. And then we got us. We got our bodies. Our bodies, to so many, is God. And we have to, you know, we look at somebody else. And when you look at somebody else, they're too thin, they're too fat, they're you know, their hair's not done, their clothes isn't right, their makeup isn't right, whatever it is, you know, why is he wearing two different shoes? There's always something that we're looking at the outside appearance of a person. The outside appearance of a person. You know, when we do that, we need to realize that just because the house has the flowers and the yard and everything is perfect, it doesn't make it a home. What makes that building and that yard and that area something of value is only the love of Christ. You can have the worst family in the most expensive, beautiful home. And what would the world see? And maybe even us. We drive by and we say, look at that beautiful house. Look at that beautiful garden. Look at that beautiful yard. Look at that gorgeous car. Look at that beautiful woman or that handsome man. Oh, they're just dressed so perfect every time I see them. That's what we do. Everything is dependent upon our eyes. What's important is what's inside that house. Is the person that lives inside that house, do they know Jesus? Do they love Jesus? Is there love in that house? That's the only thing that makes it a home. It's got nothing else. It's that. Your vehicle. Let's use it for the ministry of Christ. Let's take it to help others. our bodies? Is it so important whether we're fat or thin, or our hair, our makeup, or even if we have two different pairs of shoes, two different shoes on? You know what's important? Is our heart. Is our heart. When you love somebody, you love them for their heart. For their heart. The house is never going to be perfect. The car is never going to be perfect. Our bodies are never going to be perfect. But the house can be a most wonderful home if Jesus is there. Our vehicle can be wonderfully used to bring honor and glory to Him. Our bodies, we can enjoy each day, no matter what, whether it's cancer or whether it's whatever it might be that's come. We don't care, because Jesus is in our heart and the love that we have. This church of Sardis, I don't know what it looked like. I don't know how fancy it was. You can go down the road and you can see some beautiful, beautiful places. Picnic, we were talking about the roof that we're going to put on this building. And I was visiting with another that's talking about a roof. They're putting a lifetime roof on. But you know what? It's more important to worry about the foundation. Because if you haven't got a foundation, you don't need a roof. It doesn't matter how leaky that old roof is. But you see, they're looking for something of appearance, beauty. That's what most look for. We had a neighbor that drove by, and she was just appalled that we didn't side this building. It's such an ugly building. Look at them concrete blocks. They're just so ugly. I said, have you ever come in? No. She's long dead now. But see, everything's set up on looks. We do it. We should care for ourselves. We should keep things nice. I'm not saying that. But I am saying is that that doesn't make it a home. That doesn't bring the right heart to have all the finest things that this world, because all it is the world. God sees the heart. Where's your heart? Person drives by and sees this magnificent church building on the street, and oh, look at that beautiful, beautiful building. But when they drive downtown and they drive by this storefront and there's a mission there, or there's a new church standing on the word and that's all they got. Oh, look at those poor folks. I wouldn't go there. But is the heart of God there? Is the love of God there versus this beautiful building? You see, we need to be so careful. We need the Holy Spirit. We need Him. We need Him to guide us and to lead us so that our eyes aren't taken by the things of the world. Yes, enjoy Him. God's given them to us. Enjoy Him. But please, please, realize it's in the heart. That's what's important. It's what's in here. That's what's important. Are we going to put a new roof on? You bet. Doesn't matter, you know. Yes, it's going to look fine. But it's of a necessity. It's not something that I want to peel. Oh, look at that roof. That's the most beautiful roof I have ever seen. I don't really expect anybody to say that. I just don't want it to leak. And I want it to look nice, yes. But am I wanting the world to brag about it? I don't care. They want to, that's fine. They'll say, beautiful roof, ugly building. They'll find something to look at and to see there. What happens to so many And the church, we say we come to this church thinking it's the building, but we all know that the church is you and me. It's the people inside. It's the Christians. It's more than just people. It's born-again believers that come together. That's the church. And we need to see that the church, and at this time of reformation, they've made some great decisions, but they moved right into this human system in the process. And as the great reformers died, it was replaced with systems. And instead of studying the scripture, they fell back to tradition. Instead of having the spiritual power to guide and lead them, it had left, and the church was found. So soon this church, the Church of Sardis, was found to be dead. Alive, by all appearances, but dead. But dead. It's the same thing with every individual that walks down the street. If you got Jesus, you're alive. You're born again. If you don't, you're dead. Now you look at them, you speak to them, you talk to them. They're alive. No, they're not. They're dead. They're dead. You see that? Now when you see them, you want them to go to hell? If you don't cry over them and weep over them and talk to them, visit with them. I don't want to hear that. If they don't want to hear it, then get away from them. That's their choice. But you don't become a part of it. This time period produced a great, this time of Rome produced a great level of corruption and spiritual fornication. But this Protestantism, as it was produced, what it did, it didn't have the high level of corruption. It just rocked everybody to sleep. And they called a time of slumber. A time of slumber. Where's the reformers? Where's the people standing up and proclaiming the cross of Calvary? Jesus died on the cross. You need to be born again. Instead of that, most of us are asleep. And that's the condition we're to right now. The church was dead or had been literally rocked to sleep. It is in name only. And we'll close with just reading the second verse. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. There is just a small that are ready to die. You stand over the deathbed of someone. And they call it the death rattle. The death rattle. It's a sound that I can't explain, but you know it. It's a death rattle. And that's the saddest sound, because you know that they're going to take a couple more breaths and they're going to go off into eternity. Well, the church as a whole is having this death rattle right now. That's the condition we're in. That's the Church of Sardis. That's the condition, can be the condition of this church at any point in time if we choose to stop studying the Word of God, stop standing upon the Word of God. We can be here, we can fill the pews with activities and things we have. But we will be, as God says concerning the Church of Sardis, you say you're alive, but you're dead. You're dead. You go into many places, and you hear a few scripture read. You have all the activities that are around it. Everybody goes home feeling good and excited. But it's a worldly excitement. It's not excitement that the Spirit has given you. Are you leaving here today because you love Jesus a little bit more? Are you leaving today because you have learned concerning the seven spirits, the completeness of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, how He can guide you and lead you and strengthen you? Are you going to go home and read your Bible this afternoon? You going to come back prepared to study tonight? Jesus can see our hearts. Knows whether you're born again or not. And knows whether you're a breath away from death or you're alive. The older we get, the more excited we should be about the Word of God. About God Himself, about our Lord Jesus Christ, about the joy that the Holy Spirit can give us every day that we live. And that can grow us past the extra pains and suffering that we have as we get old. But if we depend upon the world to take care of those pains and sufferings and we neglect the Word of God, expect the pain and suffering to get greater. And I'm not saying the pain and suffering will go away as we get old, because it won't. But I am saying He'll give you the strength to go through it and to serve Him. The Spirit of God gives us every tool that we need for today, for whatever mission He has called you for. Whatever that is. We're going to begin with the second verse next week. You've learned of the Church of Sardis. You've learned of the church age that it is in part of. And we have the Reformation, and we have the Dark Ages. We have all this time. And if you go back to the history books, you can find all those times that took place. A lot of persecution to the church. And it seemed like the persecution increased it, but they came back to the Lord. But it was just for a short period of time. And if you wonder if we're an offspring of that, we're not. Because we go back to the cross of Calvary. We have not evolved through some religion, through some program. We are in Christ. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank and praise You today that we can come and study Your Word. I just ask that You'll guide and lead us today. I ask that You'll touch our hearts and You'll have us to realize that to have things is wonderful, dear Lord, and You bless us with it. We enjoy it. But please, that we don't make that our God. You are our God. You're Jehovah. And please help us to walk with You each day and serve You each day, dear Lord. And as we are young or old alike, as pain comes, as disease comes, as different things, please have us to call upon You for our strength. Yes, the doctors are there, but Father, Your strength is there, Your wisdom is there, Your knowledge is there, Your power is there. You made us. So You can sustain us. You can bring us through this time. So please, dear Lord, guide and lead us today. Have us depend upon You and call upon You, dear Lord. We thank You for the blessings You've given us. We understand they come from You, and so You're first, dear Lord. Thank You for the day that You've given us. Thank You for Your precious Word. Please now, dear Lord, guide and lead us through this day. And if You give us tomorrow, we look forward to that. But, dear Lord, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of service. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.